This is Notably Texan on listener-supported radio for Northeast Texas, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Matt Menke. And each day I handpick the songs for the Lone Star-infused playlist here, and occasionally I have the pleasure of interviewing some of the people behind the music, as we're about to do today. But we wouldn't be able to produce any of this great radio without the help of our listeners. And whether you're a longtime fan or if you have just recently discovered Notably Texan, you're not having to endure the ads and commercials that you find elsewhere. We think that is a pretty welcome change, and we'd like to stay commercial-free and independent with your help. So please click the donate button today at KETR.org and give any amount that's comfortable for you. And I'm very happy to welcome back into our studios today a man who fronted the legendary Texas outfit 1100 Springs for some 23 years, until the band went their separate ways in 2021. But he hit the ground running as a solo act and released his Glorietta album that same year, and is now putting out the Bright Skyline release on Dallas's State Fair Records. And he's right at home, producing some kind of traditional honky-tonk country sounds, a bit of western swing mixed in, and even an homage to his rockabilly roots. And I learned from our last conversation that he's got a personality as big as the state itself and a lot of great stories to tell. My guest on Notably Texan is Matt Hillier. Well, when last we spoke in 2023, your album Glorietta was being well received and really displaying your strengths as a solo artist post 1100 Springs. And man, now it really feels like you're in the groove and sounding your best on your latest record, Bright Skyline. Thank you so much for visiting KETR again, Matt. It's nice to have you back on Notably Texan.
I'm glad to be back. I mean, I've been looking forward to this since we put it on the schedule, talking about coming back, because I had a great time, man.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun, and it's just good to catch up and, you know, just to do a little chit-chat.
Well, that means a lot to us, man. We're kind of a smaller station out this way. Not everybody even knows who we are, so when somebody like you says that means a lot to me personally, so thank you very much. Well, I also had a great time speaking with you last year. So, man, how have things been? You obviously have been laboring away getting this new record ready.
Yeah, I wanted to keep the momentum kind of going from the last record. And, I'm sure that I sort of spoke about this last time. But I've just been writing more in this last couple of years than I ever have really in my life. And I always write because I love to do it. It's kind of my favorite thing about the whole process. Performing is cool, singing is cool, playing guitar is cool, but I like writing, I like creating. And then the whole process of, sort of it's just the inception of an idea, and then you take it from nothing into something, and it could be something good, and then you craft it and mold it into to where you hopefully like it enough to record it. And then the recording process, as you put it all together, it's really fun for me. So I like that, and I wanted to keep the momentum going. And I've been writing at least one song a week for the last, almost 4 years.
Wow.
And so it's a lot, and that's more on a regular sort of disciplined schedule of writing songs than I have done in my whole life. So digging into the sort of song bag and figuring out what to put on this latest record, it was a lot when we made Glorietta. It was a kind of an eye opener of just how that discipline of doing it every single week pays off. It was a lot then, but then and picking the songs for this record, it was a lot.
Really?
I mean, it was a lot, and a fair amount of tunes that I didn't hate, know what I mean? Almost every single time I put the, pen down or whatever, I kind of go, we'll see.
Right.
It's okay. It's all right. And you come back to it, maybe you edit it and whatever, you change a few things and get it to the spot, and you maybe come back to it and say, that's not as bad as I thought it was, But I still want to keep that whole thing going, because whether or not you make a dollar in this business anymore, I don't know how people are doing it, but it's almost to me the least consequential part of the whole thing.
Really?
I mean, don't get me wrong, I still have to pay the bills and all that stuff, but again, the most fun that I have doing what I do after years and years and decades in the business, the biz, is just the creative part of it.
That's good. I feel like that is enough to really keep you going, right? I
mean, it won't matter at the end of the day whether you made a buck or not, you know. But what matters to me, and I think matters to probably people if they like it, is the songs. That's it. That's what brings me to the game.
You must have had the wheels rolling on making Bright Skyline for some time, maybe even back when we talked last year.
I just had all the songs.
Okay.
The wheels have been turning and going and going and going nonstop. That it's just, I'm in a position now, so the next record, I could start recording it tomorrow if I wanted to. It's a good thing, you know. It's a good problem to have. I got more songs than I can record, and that's cool, you know. Like, I mean, that's the fun part of it for me,
right? That seems like the ideal situation. Obviously the alternative would be a problem, like, oh, I got to do a new record and I don't have anything to put on it,
which used to be the thing. We'd be so busy, and I'm not that I'm not busy now, I still am, but it's just developing the habit of doing it, and you know you have to do it whether you want to or not. Like, I have to turn in a song to the group tomorrow before midnight.
Okay.
And I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I know that I'm going to. And so then once you get all those songs sort of, you know, stocked up in your back, you know, your catalog, then it used to be the kind of thing where, like, for 1100 Springs, we tried to release a record once a year. You know, when it came time to go into the studio, if I didn't have the songs, then I had, like, to go lock myself in a room and really just sort of force the process.
That's not ideal.
It's not ideal. I mean, it worked out fine, but, like, I mean, it's not ideal. You get better results just by continuing to work that sort of muscle.
Matt the Cat Hillier is our guest on 88.9 KETR. Of course, your time with 1100 Springs is pretty far in the rear view at this point, and you've really proven yourself as a strong solo artist with your Glorietta release, but I imagine that you can never quite escape the association with such an iconic band as 1100, though, can you?
No, and I wouldn't want to. You know, I'm not against, I can't sit here and tell people that'll never, ever happen again, because we've talked about it, you know. I don't know if it will or not, but I wouldn't be against it. I'm the only person that's never missed a show.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of 1100 Springs. And I don't know. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the association. You know, these fans of ours are really more like, have been more like friends in the whole deal. We've played their weddings. We've watched them meet each other, get married, have kids. It's, you know, 23 years. You see a lot of comings and goings of good people, and that's, man, that's you couldn't buy that for all the money in the world.
Well, working on this new record, did you feel a little more comfortable this go around as a solo act? Maybe with some lessons learned on the earlier release.
It was pretty seamless because I went back into the studio with John Pettigo, my friend. And we had just a really fun time making Glorietta, and it's almost as if we just hit the pause button just for a minute, and then just got right back into it. You know, it was just easy. It was easy and fun, and it was just the shorthand was well in place. We definitely kind of felt each other's rhythm and vibe and everything like that. And I think he's great. I think he does a great job. I have a great time with him. I've known him since we were both kids, and it's great to work with him and just, you know, let that friendship grow and into something that we, you know, that's creative. And he's just doing a really great job. I like it a lot. So I anticipate more stuff with him.
You got such a good thing going there, and especially with your longtime relationship.
Yeah. He's a great artist and in his own right, but he really just kind of taken the ball and run with it as far as production is concerned.
Well, there's one Bright Skyline track in particular that had you revisiting some of your rockabilly roots, and we talked a bit about this when I had you in last time. Of people that don't know, before 1100 Springs, you were doing much more of a rockabilly vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But this tune just released as a single. Would you tell me about If I Didn't Have You?
You hit the nail on the head. Like, that rockabilly music is something that's near and dear to my heart. And it just, sometimes, you know, I going off into like, you know, classic country or honky tonk or whatever you want to call it, outlaw country, western swing, we did all that stuff and I love it a lot. But sometimes I can forget. It's like, no, having that sort of association with rockabilly music is just like this little tool that you have in your back pocket. Not everybody knows it. Not everybody understands it and speaks that language. I mean, it's something that if you actually have done it and been in that world and you can do it sort of right, man, it just brings a smile to people's face every single time. It feels good. It's snappy. It makes you want to dance. Typically, it's just, you hear a cool rockabilly tune, it just makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It's fun, man.
Yeah.
it's a fun deal because it's something that you want to swing dance to. It's something that just typically puts a smile on your face. It typically means that there's going to be some cool solos and things like that, little things you can do. I just love it. I'll never give it up.
Yeah.
You know? I'll never give it up. I'll always come back to that genre one way or the next, and I don't look at it like a novelty, and I don't look at it like it can be kitschy, but I don't look at it like kitschy. I think it's a very important style of music. More people understand what it is now than they ever have, but when I was a kid and I was 12 years old trying to tell people about it, nobody even knew what I was talking about.
Right.
Man, you know, like it's still to this day it's one of those things where it's like, at least you can say the word rockabilly and have people sort of not, they go, okay, yeah. But they don't really, most of them really don't understand
yeah.
what it really is, what it really means. And I like that, you know. I love that music. I love the guys that do it right. I love the people, I love the clothes, the cars, all this stuff. I still think it's cool.
Were you kind of particularly drawing on some of your previous experience for If I Didn't Have You, or did you just kind of, we're just right back into that rockabilly groove?
It's a love song, for sure. Any love song that I write, I'm writing for my wife.
Okay, very know? Good, yes.
You know, thinking about what a miserable situation I'd be in if I didn't have her to help me out every single day. So that's the gist of what it's about, you know. That kind of music, it typically starts with the sort of groove.
Yeah, of course.
You know, just something bouncy, snappy that feels good, and you chase that down. And then the message of it falls right in line, you know.
We've got the old Eminem crew back together today. I'm Matt Menke, joined by Matt Hillier.
I like that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We should make
man.
Some hats, man.
That's right.
So you talked about using the same producer in John Pettigo. I mean, did you have any of the other same kind of personnel this go around, or?
Arjuna Contreras playing drums once again, and Arjuna played with 1100 Springs, I want to say, for about 6 years. And we always just stay friends. I would stay friends with pretty much everybody that I ever played with 1100. And so when I get a chance, if I can get him into town to get into the studio, I really, you know, dig it. I like the way he plays, and I like his, he's got a lot of good ideas in the studio. He's and his groove is good, and I dig it a lot. Heather Stalling on fiddle, which I used her on the last solo record. And there was one thing I was trying to do, because two of the songs are holdovers from the last sessions. We went a little long.
Okay.
But, so I wanted to try and keep some semblance. I wanted to keep it hopefully sounding the same.
Yeah.
So Arjuna and Heather and James Driscoll on bass was also the same guy that I used, except for on If I Didn't Have You, I used Kevin Smith, who currently plays for Willie Nelson. And I've known him since way, way back. We had a band, High Noon, playing rockabilly music and
nice.
All that stuff. And Lloyd Maines on pedal steel, which is always good.
If you put a record out, Lloyd's got to be involved in it somehow, it seems like.
He's just, you just can trust that whatever he's going to do, we're not in the same room when it happens. Like, I just can send him the track and he's going to do something, and I know it's going to be good because I've worked with him several times. One, he's Lloyd Maines, and then two, he just without fail understands the sensibilities that I'm coming from. I don't have to explain anything to that guy. He's fantastic.
Well, we spoke last time, and you were already alluding to this a little bit earlier. We're talking about your involvement with this songwriter group, which was really helping to perk up your creativity and keep your skills sharp. First off, I mean, do you want to, or unless it's like a top secret thing, do you want to shout out the writing group that you're the songwriting group?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we keep it to about 10 people, and I've been in for over 3 years, maybe 3.5, something like that. We take about a month off once a year around the holidays, but I mean, a lot of people have come in and fallen off. Currently, I every time I try and name everybody who's in it, now I know exactly who they are, but I just if I have to name them off, like I forget.
I get it.
You know what I mean? Like, but it's a good group, and yeah, it really has sort of just changed my approach.
I mean, was this put together by a specific person? Or?
I think it's been going on for a really long time before I got into it. The guy, Johnny Chops, who plays bass with Randy Rogers' band, he was in charge of it whenever I joined up. And there was a bunch of really great people. I think when I joined up, Ben Donaher was in it, William Beckman, Rio Trippiano. I can't remember everybody who was in it, but a lot of people have come and gone, and it's just cool. It's just, for one, you listen to other people's songs that they sing every week, and kind of puts you on notice. Like, it raises your game, hopefully, because they'll typically throw out some stuff that sort of turns your head and just goes, man, I got to step it up.
Yeah.
You know? But you know, it's been a good thing, and I don't know. It's I've never had that sort of discipline of writing every single week. The thing that you know, I keep trying to, whenever I try, and I've been in charge of it too. I was in charge of it for a good long time, until recently I had to kick myself out.
Okay.
because I screwed up and I just didn't hit send.
You know? No.
Right. Like, I had it all written and everything, and I didn't hit send. I woke up the next day, and I had to just, and everybody was like, "Oh, don't worry about it, man." I was like, no, the rules are rules.
Okay.
Just get me back in when you can. So right now, I think Summer Dean is in charge right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so it's fun to be in charge, but then it's also kind of not fun.
It's a lot of responsibility, too.
You have to think of the prompts every single week, and I don't know.
That's got
to
be tough.
Stay on top of who's in and who's out. Yes. You know, like, yeah.
So, I mean, you've indicated that these songwriting assignments and prompts have really been a boon for you as a songwriter, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think that the main thing is, when I recommend it to anybody. Basically, if you want to start your own songwriter group like what we have, you know, find people that you think are cool, that you would like to hear their songs every single week, and you give them a prompt. What we do is, you know, it's due before midnight on Wednesday. You send the lyrics to an email chain with everybody in the group on it, along with some sort of basic recording. Mostly people just record into their voice memos and send it. And you have to send it before midnight. And then the next day, Thursday, if you're still in, then they send a new prompt, and you have till Wednesday the next week. And you get one pass. You get one week where you're allowed to say, listen, I can't do it. You know, I can't do it this week. But one pass per year. When Johnny Chops was running it, it was one pass lifetime. But people were staying in too long, and like, when I took charge, it's like, look, we're going to do a yearly pass.
Yeah.
You know, like, life is life, man.
I mean, do you have like a cool name for the group? Like, you know, the Song Stalkers? No, I don't know.
No, just Song Club.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once you can get it into your head that you're going to just write some pretty terrible songs and people are going to hear it. You know, and that's that. Everybody does that. It's one of the reasons I don't believe in writer's block anymore, just because most people who say they have writer's block, it's just because they're afraid to write something that sucks. You know, and like, everybody does it. Nobody wants to. Whether you have a song group or not, you're still going to write something that's not great. It just happens.
Yeah.
You have to get a bad one out of the way before you can get a good one. and, you know, get over yourself, get out of your own way. That's it. So that's been one of the main, most valuable lessons in doing all of that, is just to accept the fact that you're not reinventing the wheel here, man.
Sure.
you get a good one every now and again.
We're talking with Matt Hillier on 88.9 KETR. So the songwriting group has you writing alone, so I wanted to ask you about co-writing songs. Do you kind of find new challenges when you're writing a song with somebody else, or is it maybe a little easier because you don't have to do all the lifting?
I don't do as many co-writes as I used to do. I'll say that much. That has cut into my co-writing, mainly just because, time. The first co-write, and before I hooked up with the songwriting group, I was doing mostly co-writes because I think I got to a spot where I was tired of my own voice. And I would go to sit down and write something. I'm just like, I'm just so sick of my old same tricks. So I would go and write with other people, and that was refreshing. Whether I was, bringing the idea to the table and they were helping me with it, or vice versa, like that, you know, the pressure was a little bit off in that way. But I got tired of co-writes too. You go back and forth. Like I got to a point where it's just like, man, I really got to go back and revisit my voice and figure out where my head's at and figure out what I have to say. So that was really, the group was really good for that. And then the first co-write that I did after, it was about a year into being in the group, and the first co-write I did was a song that's on the record that I wrote with Max Stalling, What Are You Doing Now? And Max and I have written together before in a group, but never just the two of us. And of course, we're best buddies, you know.
Are you?
Yeah. Life gets a little weird between the two of us if we don't talk.
Okay.
For a few days, we get a little. I know I do. You know, my wife will say, have you talked to Max lately? I was like, no, it's been a few days. Like, you should call him.
Right.
It really happened during the pandemic.
Okay.
It really happened. We were making up excuses to call each other, you know. It was every day. And but he and I wrote together, and Max is a great friend, but I have a lot of reverence for him as a writer. You know, he's a really heavy duty, cerebral, poetic, just a great songwriter. And so getting together with him, just the two of us to write, shouldn't be intimidating because we're such good friends. I'm not really worried about it, but it was a little bit. And we got to writing that song, and I was like, you know, man, I'm actually, not that I'm surprised, because I write a lot of songs and I consider myself a decent songwriter, but I'm actually participating in a meaningful way with this co-write with my buddy Max. It's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. No, and I really like the tune a lot. But he was the first one. I felt, to get to the sort of answer of like how it affected co-writing, I felt more confident going into the situation because I had been writing so much. You know, like I don't know, if you work out at something enough, you're bound to get better at it, you know, bound to get better and stronger at it. And I could feel it. I could feel that. Like I had other things to say and I was more on top of it, I think.
Nice. So, I mean, you co-wrote that one with Max, but most of the material on Bright Skyline you wrote solo.
Yeah. Yeah, most of it is from the group. Yeah, and so most of it is just me.
Well,
the other co-write that I have on the record, and I may be missing something, but was a song I wrote with Mondo Science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I just love him. I think he's great. I've been a huge fan of his writing for a long time.
Now, I imagine you've got your sights set on lots of touring in support of the new record, don't you?
Sure, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've got coming up.
Well, I mean, you know, it's any number of shows traveling here and there, places I've been before, some places I haven't. You can check the website, matthillier.com, HILLYER. I have to clarify that.
I understand.
The letter Y screws people up.
Yeah, yeah.
It does. And I just, let me vent. Let me go sidebar.
Please.
Here for a second.
Please.
About my last name. Because I don't understand telemarketers.
Okay.
I don't understand this because you don't get it that much anymore because, you know, people don't have home phones like they used to have. But it never has failed to amaze me. When you do get these calls, you know for a fact that they have a list of who exactly they're calling right in front of them.
Sure.
And it's got your name right on it. Now, if I had some sort of name that was maybe Eastern European and heritage that was made with a lot more consonants than vowels, I maybe could give you a little leeway there. But I it's two syllables. One of them is a word most people know, hill. You know, hill is easy.
Yeah.
Y-E-R. I can't think of any other way.
I'm not sure.
That you're going to mess, like, there's two syllables. Two syllables. Hill, your. It's right there. It's right there in front of you. It's on a piece of paper. It's not hard to figure out.
So what are you getting then? I mean, what are they saying?
It's always, it sounds like this. Hello, Mr. Hiller. Hillary.
Right. Okay.
I'm like, dude, come on, man. My whole life is all right. That's my rant on that.
Understood. No, yeah. I think that's well deserved. Honestly. Yeah.
So I don't know. Where
you
I
were
went
giving
this,
your website?
Before, yeah,
is
but
where
yeah, MattHillier.com. That's why I derailed. Okay. It's just sorry.
No, it's okay.
This is clearly something that's been bothering me for a while.
I forgot mentioning your name was going to trigger you.
Yeah, it's okay. Sorry.
You were talking about how your upcoming dates are
right,
going
to
be listed
they're,
there.
They're there. Yeah, they're there, and any you know link to any socials and all that good stuff, and I try to have fun with that.
Good. When we talked last time, you were mentioning how much you enjoy the kind of solo singer-songwriter shows when we were comparing those to the full band.
I mean, it's not half and half, but like, because I mainly kind of do acoustic shows, but I'm doing more full band shows, and I want, you know, the goal for me is to be able to sort of mix it up and maybe do some band shows that aren't full band, maybe like a trio setup. Just have fun with it, because there's any number of ways you can play these songs. But yeah, I like doing all of it. I do like the storytelling fashion of an acoustic show. You get to have a different sort of dynamic with the audience.
That's way more intimate.
You can joke with the folks. They can talk to you. You
exactly.
can talk to them. Like, it's just, I like it a lot. Over the years, and of course, most people know me from doing band shows with 1100 and all that, and that's fun. But when I started doing more acoustic singer-songwriter shows, I really, really love it because you have that intimate thing where you can have that conversation with the show with the audience as it's happening. That's fun. I like it a lot.
With 1100, did you ever have to play behind chicken wire?
No, never did that. But
okay,
I mean, we definitely, like, yeah, there were times I wish we did.
Yeah.
There were, you know, I did a podcast one time called The Strangest Gig.
Okay.
And it's only supposed to be a 30-minute podcast at a stretch, you know, like what they asked me.
Okay. You know? And it was 2 hours long.
It was, because I have too many. It's like, I don't know who the other artists that you're having on, how many gigs they've actually done. I've done a lot of weird stuff,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. I'll have to dig that up.
Yeah. They had to separate it into two separate episodes. Okay. Yeah.
Join us next week. You won't believe.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Nice.
I want to do this song that I had mentioned before. I wrote this with Mondo Sciens, which I mean, I can't say enough good stuff about him, because I think he's just great. And I've always been a fan of his songwriting and his songs, and a friend of his for a long time. And I was in Nashville a couple years ago for Americana Fest, I believe, and I just called him up. It's like, hey, I don't know if you have any time to get together and write. He's like, yeah, sounds great. So we got together in one of those whatever publishing house that he signed up with, and I had this idea, which basically it's really, really pretty autobiographical in the sense that it's about my wife and our relationship, and just my sort of apprehension, or not apprehension, but just my own thoughts after being married for 23 years. Just the idea that, you know, music was never what kept her. And she loves that I play music. She likes my music and all of that stuff. We met when we were pretty young. That wasn't really ever her that's not what brought her to the dance, you know. We enjoyed each other and we really hit it off, and that was that. But I mean, when even early when we were dating, I'd look out and she'd be in the audience, and I thought, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I'm thinking, I'm rocking, man. It's like, oh, I hope she sees I'm going to do my kick, you know? And I'd look up and she'd be gone,
you know?
Like, her and her friends split, man. They went to a bar down the street. Probably what kept me chasing after all those years.
Okay.
And like, and I don't know, even when we were about to get married, I kept trying to tell her, it's like, you know, it's being married to a musician's not, it's no day at the beach. Finally, she's like, look, are we going to do this or not? And yeah, no, I mean, I've been right. It's been a challenge, but never one that ever fazed her. And it's just, it's about my thoughts that I've had before we got married, through our marriage, and today, just my worry that, you know, did she really know what she was signing up for? Am I doing enough to keep her happy and to keep, and you know, it's never been a struggle. It's just, it's stuff that I think about.
Right. I gotcha.
So this is what we came up with here. Did she ever want to live like this? Does she ever want to change her mind? Was it ever really her great wish? Betting on a fool? Did she ever want to be that strong? Did she think we'd be further along? Instead of singing that same old song, pretending that it's new, thinking about what she might have missed. Did she ever want to live like this? 20 years down the road, she's looking at the same old sign, wondering where it's gonna go while I'm still driving blind. Still dreaming like a bright-eyed kid, looking for the words to rhyme while she's still holding on. But did she ever want to live like this? Does she ever want to change her mind? Was it ever really her great wish? Betting on a fool? Did she ever want to be that strong? Did she think we'd be further along? Instead of singing that same old song, pretending that it's new, thinking about what she might have missed. Did she ever want to live like this? She'll smile and say, baby, don't think so much. Lately I've been thinking maybe I don't think enough. Why can't I let go and just trust in her love? Why do I keep asking myself? Did she ever want to live like this? Does she ever want to change her mind? Was it ever really her great wish? Betting on a fool? Did she ever want to be that strong? Did she think we'd be further along? Instead of singing that same old song, pretending that it's new, thinking about what she might have missed. Did she ever want to live like this? Hindsight being what it is, did she ever want to live like this?
A live performance in our studios of Did She Ever Want to Live Like This by Matt Hillier on 88.9 KETR. Your album Bright Skyline is officially coming out, and this is, I would say it's been a long time coming, but it actually was a pretty quick turnaround from your last album. But like I said at the top, man, I honestly, I feel like you were... you're just really in your element now as the solo act.
I've always kind of felt comfortable. I mean, I've always been the one creating the stuff, but I appreciate you saying that because it's exactly how I feel. I feel like damn the torpedoes, really, honestly. Like I have all this stuff, all these songs that I would love to get out there. The hard part for me about it's just slowing down.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Like just sit there and think, okay, give this project the life that it deserves. That you know, I like to keep creating, and even with 1100, we stayed on top of it. We pretty much tried to release a record every single year, and there were a couple of years we'd let it go by, but we would try and stay on top of it, which I don't know. It just seems easier now, just because I have a lot of songs to record and to release that I want people to hear. So, you know, that's the trick, is just trying to there's one particular song moving forward that I want to record, and I want to record it maybe as a one-off and release it just as a single rather than getting into making the next record.
Okay.
I think that'll be easier said than done.
Yeah, right, with all the material that you're making. Right,
right. But I mean, this particular tune, I would really like to just take the extra time just to focus on the one song, just and think of it that way. It's just one particular tune to really, really pour over it more than the whole record, because, you know, a record is a pretty big project.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll be interested to see how that project goes then.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Man, it's really a joy. I hope that we can have you back again soon when you put out either this single or another album.
Yeah. Anytime, man. I have a blast. Yeah. A lot of fun talking to you.
And just a reminder, you can find him at matthillier.com. That's H-I-L-L-Y-E-R, in case you missed our discussion about the spelling of his name earlier. And my name's Matt Menke. Big thanks again to my fellow Matt for stopping by the studios. And a shout out to Brandy Reed with RPR Media for helping to set this interview up. And Notably Texan is made possible thanks to the generous support of our listeners. So keep this programming coming by clicking the donate button on our site, ketr.org. Thank you so much for listening.